Welcome again to the Performance Project, and get ready in this session to learn a whole new way to build emotional resilience. This is Jen Verheeren of Cadence Coaching. I want to talk to you now about how emotions work and how you can learn to process them really efficiently. It's time to get supple with your emotions in the very same way you ask your horse to be supple to your aids. I will never promise you that you'll be fearless and confident 100% of the time, because that would be crazy and it would be crazy boring as well. Emotions are a part of the human experience. There are no high highs without low lows. What I can tell you is that you'll get really good at processing emotions. You'll still feel fear, but you'll learn to trust that it'll pass through you in a wave if you have the peace and presence to allow it to. You'll still feel nervous, but you'll be able to turn those nerves into a powerful engine of inspiration. I can promise you that. What we're going to talk about now, you can use to move past mild show nerves and the occasional bout of anxiety. And you can also use it to move past the big stuff. How do you stay resilient in the face of fear? How do you have fortitude in the aftermath of grief? How do you get out of feeling constantly stressed? Whatever it is for you, this is about how emotions are supposed to work and what happens when they're not working. It's about ways to get past powerful emotions that are getting in the way of your fully enjoying your life. Emotions can keep you from excelling in your sport. They can mess with your relationships, and they can hijack you from your own life if you let them. I'm going to share with you what may seem to be a bit of a departure from traditional therapeutic models. It also might seem counterculture in a get back on the horse and tough it out industry. I just request that you keep an open mind. I am blown away again and again by the progress that's made by people when they begin to understand what I'm going to teach you here. You'll hopefully see how you can apply this to your own life and also how you can use these ideas to support your friends and clients. Please take a look at the stages of energy chart. This audio will be a lot more meaningful to you if you have the chart in front of you. I find this to be an extremely useful way to look at how emotions work. It's a stair-step shaped chart. The lower energy states at the bottom on the bottom steps are represented by emotions that we commonly think of as negative. Starting from the bottom, shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride are all lower energy states. Courage is next on the stair steps, and it's really the gateway to the higher energy states. These are represented by what we commonly think of as positive emotions on the higher steps: courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and finally, enlightenment. As human beings, we're supposed to be constantly moving up and down this chart, from one emotion to the next. When emotions are doing what they are supposed to do, we might feel afraid, and if what we're afraid of doesn't come to happen, that fear moves along in a wave and we're on to the next emotion. The word emotion actually means to move. Okay, the word emotion means to move. Emotion is supposed to move. Babies, puppies, and horses are all great examples of emotion operating as it's meant to. Babies cry when they're sad, they laugh when they're happy, they wail when they're angry, and sometimes all within a period of a couple of minutes. They don't tell stories about why they should or shouldn't feel a particular way. They don't beat themselves up for shedding a tear or feel ashamed when they giggle out loud at something fun. Horses spook, and they can be in a free walk a few seconds later, totally relaxed again. This is how emotions are supposed to work. Okay, so this is what happens that causes things to go awry. In our society, we are trained to suppress our emotions from a very young age. We're told to control our anger, to hold back our tears, to act happy no matter how we really feel. As riders, we're told to suck it up, to not let the horse know we're afraid, and to push past our fear. What happens then is that over time, stuffing our fear results in it being stuck in our bodies. And really, stuffing any emotion results in it being stuck in our bodies. When we experience a trauma or even just a bad thing in whatever form, it triggers a particular emotional response. Our brains are programmed to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. We've been told certain emotions are bad and to be avoided. So we stuff them. We hold them in. We distract ourselves with other things. And we almost instinctively suppress them. Just think about what you do when you feel tears coming on, or when you feel really afraid in front of other people, or when you feel ashamed or depressed. If you're like most people, you play it off as if you're not feeling those things at all. This is where emotions start misbehaving. If you don't properly process the feeling when it happens, whether it's grief or fear or anger or shame, it quite literally gets stuck. It goes nowhere. This emotion lives in your body and visits you at every opportunity. This is what we most commonly hear referred to as being triggered. This can go on literally for years, and it's cumulative. So that means it can actually feel like it gets worse over time than better. And it can be crazy making because we have this idea that fear should go away, or any emotion should go away with time. But it can actually become more intense the more you judge it for being illogical or if it becomes a part of your identity. Okay, but the good news is that you can change all this pretty quickly and you can get through to the other side of it. So, how do you interrupt this pattern and get unstuck? Here's the deal. The only way past it is through it. I know you've heard that before. You've got to learn to really efficiently and gracefully process difficult emotions so they pass in a wave rather than set up camp in your nervous system. The key to this is to become the observer of your own emotions, okay? To become the observer of your own emotions. Stop judging them. There are a few steps to learning how to do this. And I have to preface this with the fact that I'm a very pragmatic person. And the first time I was exposed to this exercise, I was like, that seems a bit much. And I was pretty skeptical. But now, having done this work with hundreds and hundreds of people, I believe wholeheartedly in the veracity of this exercise. So please bear with me. If you're uncomfortable, you're growing. Okay, so the first thing you do is you name the emotion. What is it that you're feeling? Look at the energy chart and identify what it is. The second thing you do is to locate it. Where in your body are you feeling it? And quite often people will say they feel it in their throat or their chest or their solar plexus or their stomach. Sometimes I find it fascinating, people, if people have old injuries, they'll feel the emotion at the old injury site, like in their left ankle or their right knee. The third step is to describe it. What are the sensations of that emotion? How much does it weigh? How much space does it take up in your body? What color is it? Is it moving or is it still? What temperature is it? Ask yourself all these questions about that emotion and where it is in your body and how it feels. Number four, breathe. Breathe, breathe. Get curious, allow, observe, feel what you feel, what you feel. So you name it, you locate it, you describe it, you breathe and allow yourself to be curious, to observe, and to feel what you feel, what you feel. And then the fifth thing you do is you describe it again. Continue to describe the emotion and its sensation in your body so that you stay in observation mode. Use actual numbers as measures. I ask people to say, okay, if you had to guess how much it weighs, how much does it weigh? If you had to guess what color it is, what color is it? And then it's crazy what happens is that you begin to notice changes that will occur. So you've completely shifted from judging the emotion and thinking about all the reasons why it's illogical and not justified. And now you're just completely accepting it, noticing it, and observing it in your body. You'll likely be pretty surprised when you feel your feelings start to change because the emotion will start to move and leave as you become the observer instead of the judger. It usually starts to weigh less, take up less space. It might move from one part of your body to another. After you've, and for some people this might take 30 or 40 minutes, for some people it might take a couple of minutes, and the more you practice it, the faster you get. Once you've almost fully process the emotion and it's gone, you'll feel lighter and physically more relaxed. You can do this while you're on a couch or while you're on a horse. You can do it with fear, anger, sadness, whatever. Just make sure you have someone there to help you if you're going to try it in the saddle. If you're feeling very, very emotional or vulnerable, find a friend, a mentor, or a coach to be there when you try this. Make no mistake, this is not easy. It can require a coach or an instructor or a friend that really gets it to help you out. But I suggest you play with this exercise. If you're a trainer and you have students who struggle with fear, this can give you great insight into how you can best support them in getting past it. You also might be a place in your life where this is not doesn't seem relevant for you. You are not plagued by very powerful emotions that seem to be getting in your way. And I would encourage you, if that's you, to just put this in your toolkit for a later date. One of the reasons that this exercise can seem difficult is that we are conditioned to believe that if we go there, quote unquote, when it comes to certain emotions, that we may never be able to get out. We're afraid that the fear or the grief will be unbearable and that we're going to get stuck there. So here's what I've learned. I've learned to trust you, to trust myself. I've learned that you can go there, that you have the strength and the resilience to feel what you need to feel and be set free from whatever it is that has had you stuck. So go forth with this. Try it. Trust yourself. And if you need help, ask for it. The objective of this exercise is to help you develop the ability to go low on the energy chart, but to then be able to go right back up. When you're emotionally supple, you're able to handle disappointment, bad luck, and tragedy with much more strength and grace. You're able to be more present with others who are in pain. You can be a better friend, a better rider, and a better parent. You can get to the other side of fear over and over and over again. When you develop this quality of emotional resilience together with the quality of mental toughness that develops when you take charge of your thoughts as well, you have a powerful combination of qualities that empower you to live whatever life you're truly meant to live. I actually went back and forth about whether to include this in the performance project because it's so big and it's quite challenging to present in this format. But I decided that I needed to have the guts to discuss it with you because I know that this is pivotal to so much of what we struggle with as riders, and it's a perspective shift that can change the game for you. So thank you for listening and being open. Cheers to getting to the other side over and over and over. Thank you.